now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Shout Out. I'm Steph B. Barnett.
And I'm Andy Shilton, and today on the show, the Bristol Diversity Awards.
They are new and taking place this Sunday along with some rather special birthday celebrations.
And Bart.
That's the stage show. Yes, Ivan's been catching up with the singer-songwriter John Barr.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out. Hello, everyone. Hello, Lucy.
Hi, Andy.
Hello, Steffi.
Hello. I've got no text across my my shirt today.
No, but I still love you.
Yeah, but your eyes are looking in my eyes instead of at me boobs.
Does that work with gay guys?
I don't think it does.
No.
I've never seen that. I mean, no. You guys have definitely got a chemistry, but it's never been like that.
No.
You haven't seen when Rebecca's in the studio, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
she does it all just pop off, does it?
Well, it
goes,
does, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I go out the window.
Weird. Okay.
You'd have our job.
This is true. He takes the bars off the window first, then he opens the window, then he goes out.
Now, wow, what a show last week.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes, it was rather good.
Yes, yes.
Ellen, Matthew and yourself.
Yeah, that's the quietest I've ever been on the show, mate.
It was the quietest. I was impressed that you kept them that long. How did you manage it? Did they?
Well, it was one of those...
Was it gaffer tape?
We had more mics than we normally do.
There were four people in the studio who liked to talk almost as much as, if not more than Andy.
Well, not only that, we have more mics on than we ever normally do. And it's kind of okay, but it can be quite a nightmare with them all up at the same time. It can sound really echoey. So, of course, they're all slightly down, and I'm pushing them up as they're saying, you know, this councillor, that councillor. But it keeps throwing me every now and again, because they say, who'd like to answer that? I'd be like, who's next? It's a bit of a nightmare.
It all sounded...
Smooth as, yeah. Lots of lovely feedback as well, which is really cool.
So. Who's seen Beauty and the Beast?
No, I haven't yet. Mm-hmm. Have you? No.
Yes.
Oh. Is it any good?
Okay.
Well, I was expecting, because Malaysia was banning it and Russia were going to kick it.
Yeah, like maximum gay.
Well, I was expecting almost gay porn. No, Russia didn't, so I thought, well, it can't be that bad. There was nothing really. It was a dance at the end in the ballroom, and Le Fou was dancing with a woman next to Gaston. Le Fou.
Le Fou. I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, Gaston's sidekick.
Gaston.
That was very nasal of you.
French, Bristolian.
Speak French to me again.
Oh, bonjour.
Comment allez-vous?
Twemble.
Je peux parler un peu français.
Anyway, Le Fou dances with a woman, and then they all swap round, so all the women move around one, but it all gets messed up, and this guy moves in front of Le Fou. And they just look at each other, obviously big smiles, and you think, ah, there we go. And they just dance with each other. That was it.
And they made all, so really between the lines, was it a slight marketing ploy, do we think?
I don't know. Le Fou was obviously gay.
No, I know, but Disney did make a big song and dance about it. Being
the
first big gay thing.
Yeah. It's...
But, you know, like, you know, us gay people, we do look very hard for gay subtext.
Well, we do.
And
there's so little of it.
There is so little of it. So we're so grateful. So it's really nice to find, it's really nice to know that they found the subtext for us and told that it was really, really gay and there was gay subtext and banned it. So we don't have that work to be done. We can just go, oh, yeah, there's
another
gay
movie
subtext
coming out. Look out for the gay in Power Rangers.
Oh, Power Rangers is out.
Yeah, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Yeah, definitely. Yep.
I was a bit too old for it by the time
I was a bit too old, but come on, look at those suits.
Would be too,
yeah, no, it kind of passed. Pokemon as well. What?
Oh, I was definitely too old for Pokemon.
Yeah.
But when the app came out, all the younger guys at work
people
just went mad going everywhere for it. So even on our wedding day on the SS Great Britain, there were people doing Pokemon on the top
people
of the boat.
People were looking for Pokemon.
Yeah.
Really?
That's rude.
Okay.
Well, you have to pay to get on it normally. They were like, oh, I'm not passing that up. That's whatever it was they had to collect.
£15
it's like,
ticket.
It's a wedding.
Yeah.
Brunel would be turning in his grave.
He would, yeah. Well, they had that issue, didn't they? Because they had, excuse our door going off. Someone's obviously turned the buzzer back on. But they had people playing Pokemon in grave. graveyards and all sorts. They actually had to ban it in certain places, didn't they? And remove the objects you collect from them.
Wow.
Because it was really disrespectful.
Yeah, no, it's a bit... Yeah, because they were saying, oh, it's a great way that people can, like, engage with, like, the environment and nature and, you know, get to meet people. And two problems. It was over as soon as it started, because who does it now? And secondly, no, people were still just fiddling about on their phones, just... Yeah. Even more in public. Even more than it's even possible. Well, grr, someone get off my lawn.
And just before we move on to event, on a serious note, can we just say that our hearts go out to everyone who was affected in London yesterday as well? Because yes. It was quite horrible to be watching.
Yeah, it was quite a shock when I saw it. I was working in the coffee shop yesterday and saw it on the, because we had got the news on the television. And when I saw the sort of the headlines, it was like, oh.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever had Facebook do that emergency thing where it told me if all my friends were safe or not.
Wow.
Because I have got quite a few friends who live in London, and it kept popping up saying, your friend has checked in and said he's safe and he's in the area. And, so and that would show it does
there's
work.
Some positiveness to Facebook.
Yeah. And what was also really good was the resolve. It was just like when we had the 7-Eleven stuff. It was 7-Eleven, was it?
7-7.
You know, the resolve to just carry on as normal and not be beaten by it today, I thought was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Well, when you think, when in Belgium, they actually closed Brussels down, didn't they, for quite a while, whereas Westminster Bridge was up and running this morning.
Yeah. It was good.
So, anyway, should we move on and get some events? Are you ready, Lucy?
Yeah.
Now we've got Lucy on our show. By proxy, we kind of got Ella as well, really, haven't we? Slightly.
So Ella's going to be talking. Do you want to start with that?
Yeah, we can.
Should we do that?
Yes.
Okay. So a few months ago now, I think I spoke about Tom Marchman's show, King's Cross. It was previewing at the Cube Cinema. It's past episodes. Shout outs, pass him, people. And just so you know, his show is now... has now moved on and it's being shown in London, I think, and that's what Ella's talking to him about. Is that right?
Well, I think it's about it being here. This is Ella having a chat with Tom.
So King's Cross Remix is premiering at the Wardrobe Theatre in Bristol on the 5th and 6th of April at 8 o'clock, and tickets are £8. Hello, my name is Tom Marchman and I'm a theatre maker. I'm an artist that's based in the Pervasive Media Studio, which is in the Watershed. Well, my new show is called King's Cross Remix, and it was made by a process of interviewing people that lived, partied, worked, and generally just hung around in King's Cross area in the 1980s. I think of myself in the show as a bit of a conduit for these people's voices, so I work with their stories in lots of different ways. Lots of it is just speaking their words, some of it is lip syncing to their real words, and other ways of kind of more like poetic reflections or dramatizations of ideas or concepts that they talk about. It does have a feeling like they're all in the same room, like I'm kind of ghosting them in some way. I'd interviewed lots of lesbian and gay men, but there was no trans story, so I've been working up and developing a new story for that mix, and finding the appropriate places for that person's story to fit into the show. The project was originally funded by Heritage Lottery funding, and now the tour, which is reasonably extensive, is funded by Arts Council England. It's at the Wardrobe Theatre, which is the part of the Old Market Assembly, and their website is thewardrobetheatre.com. The tickets are £8, and the show starts at 8 o'clock.
There you go.
So I got that completely wrong, but luckily...
Ella didn't.
But luckily Ella didn't.
Well, so you're close. It was on the M4.
So, and thank you, Tom for doing that as well. So it's supposed to be a brilliant show.
Yeah, no. As I say, it previewed at the Cube a few months ago, so it's good that he's brought it to the Wardrobe and a bigger audience.
Yeah.
So this weekend... things going on. So you are talking about the Diversity Awards that are opening, and obviously we've had the Shout Out Listeners Awards, but don't forget the third LGBT friendly awards show that gets run in Bristol. And that is the Queen Shilling Shafter Awards.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they they happen. They're a bit more scene focused than maybe sort of the shout out stuff, but they definitely are on awards. They've been
is it the ceremony this weekend?
The ceremony is this weekend. Yeah. It is on Sunday. Doors open 19:30. So you'll be able to find out if you've been voting on who will be winning one of those awards. Being hosted by Miss Match and Miss Beaver, with Fanny Dazzle doing a halftime show, so could be quite good. Go down and do that. And that'll be all the LGBT-friendly themed awards tied up, I think, in Bristol.
For now.
For now, yeah.
Yeah.
Until another one. So that's this weekend. And then next weekend, just so everybody's aware, just to have time to get tickets, the Albany Castle in Montpellier, it's kind of a little niche little venue, is hosting a cabaret next week, and it looks pretty good. It's Friday the 31st of March and Saturday the 1st of April, a springtime celebration of foolery and the hottest cabaret darlings this side of the Mendips, which really sells it.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. So doors open at 7. There's also a Sunday matinee, and tickets are £10, and the dress code is to be foolish.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Just interpret that how you will, I guess. Spring
what
is in the
air. What would you wear for?
Like a Mad March hair, I guess, or...
Oh, right.
Or foolish in a cabaret kind of way. So, like, work a corset of some sort, or I don't know.
Have I got time to just slip a quickie in?
Yes.
Just... Why are you laughing? Did I say something funny?
No,
though, Lucy?
No.
I think, Steph, you want to talk about an extra event. I think that would be great. So yeah, please
thank
do
you,
that.
Lucy. Yeah. Thank you.
This is a family-friendly show, people.
Absolutely. Western Supermare Pride fundraiser, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, I love that. Wait.
Themed night.
Saturday, it's a themed night, huh?
Saturday the 25th. So that's this Saturday, between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. Cameo in Western Supermare. Suggested donation, £3.
Cool. I do love that film. And have you seen The Stage Show as well? The Stage Show is amazing.
Yeah, I've
it's
heard
really,
good
really
things
good.
About
I was lucky enough
yeah.
to see it with Jason Donovan, didn't it, when it first opened. And
so,
it was
what
brilliant.
Character would you go as?
I don't know, actually.
It
would have to be one of the three, wouldn't it?
We haven't got time for you to ponder. Move on.
No, we haven't. All right, moving on. Thank you very much, Lucy.
Lots to do.
Shout-out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout-Out Podcast. Get out of
here. And that's Why Don't You by Gramophone Z. But I like the spelling of that one.
Yes.
Gramophone Z.
That's very 50s.
Yeah. Well, it's
maybe
sort of
even
it is.
40s.
It's kind of like remade, isn't it?
A bit before your time. Let's put it like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that remix was like about 6 months ago.
Yeah. Don't try and ignore the person on the other side of the desk.
No, you can't.
They're trying to get her attention.
It's very often to be that side of the desk, to be honest.
I tell you what, there's a few rules before we introduce Patrick Hart onto microphone number 3. Patrick, first off, no mention of One Love Breakfast.
He won't be able to do that.
Number 2, no singing.
Wow.
Number 3, keep to subject.
Well, you did your prep, didn't you, Steph?
Okay.
Bullying in the workplace. Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm good. I'm honoured to be on Shout. Is this the second time?
I think it actually, you include Pride, because you've been there for a lot of Pride, and of course you were there for the Shout Out Listeners Awards as
well,
weren't
you? That's true as well, actually, yeah.
So
this is my second show, apart from the breakfast. Let's move on.
So I take it you were doing it this morning, weren't you? It must have been horrible with all the news breaking about London.
I was doing it this morning, and it was terrible to be able to have to report on stuff like that as well, and have those kind of conversations. So unfortunately, when we're on the radio, we have to sometimes be the bearers of some horrible and tragic news, and as presenters, and you guys will know yourselves, it's horrible.
Yeah,
it really is horrible.
Yeah, we had it with the whole what happened in Orlando, didn't we? So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's not a very nice one. But we are talking about a decent subject today, a very nice one.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the Bristol Diversity Awards, which are coming up this Sunday, along with a rather special event.
That's right.
Which is our 10th birthday, isn't it?
So we've had loads and loads of events over March, and some of them are going to spill into April, and then also in August as well. We've got a big black tie dinner. But on Sunday, we've got the official 10th birthday birthday party for BCFM. So Bristol's Mayor Marvin Rees has gifted us City Hall to be able to put this event on. So we're going to celebrate. It is, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah. He's quite a proponent of us, actually, isn't he? So, I mean, because he was at our listeners as well, giving stuff away. It was lovely to see him there. And he does seem to keep coming back onto BCFM.
Yeah.
So I can't believe it's been 10 years. That's just the miraculous one. If you're listening on one of our other stations, obviously BCFM's our home. And shout out 7. So we've been in nearly since the beginning, and it's changed an awful lot in the time we've been here.
Yeah. And I was trying to work out how long I've been here. I was thinking it's 5 years, but it's actually longer than that.
It must be, because you were doing drive time when we started.
Wow. So it has been probably
over 7 years.
Yeah, I think I've been here 7 years, but probably been the station manager maybe 5 or a little bit more than that. So as part of our celebrations, what we really wanted to do was to recognise diversity in its entirety. So it's been great that we've had things like the Shout Out Awards, which we were, you know, I was honoured, and Sherry were honoured to be there to be able to present some of the awards. And we've had lots of different awards, you know, celebrating age awards and different ones for the black minority ethnic communities as well, and young people's awards and business awards. So we thought that we'd launch the diversity awards, and we'd look at all those protected characteristics and see what individuals, what companies, what businesses were really practicing diversity in our city. So we'll launch them on Sunday. We'll give away 5 inaugural awards, and we've already picked the date for next year. So I think it's the 24th of March 2018 at the Marriott Hotel. Cool. And that's the date where we'll have 20 or so awards, and hopefully we'll team up with you guys and others to have a real massive diversity celebration next year.
What are the categories, Pat, this year?
Well, this year, I think, see, you got me a question. I didn't bring them with me, but there's a special recognition. There's the most diverse business, the most diverse community organisation, and I think one for an individual. There are 5. Right. And so there's a small panel of people, including Ivan Jackson, and Rizwan, who supports the...
Who's Ivan Jackson?
well, he does news on the One Love Breakfast. So he's involved.
That's twice.
Yeah. But one of the important things that we decided to do, and some people agree or disagree, is that this year's and also next year's are not going to be a public vote. What we're going to do is ask the public for nominations, and we're putting together a panel, a diverse panel, to do that. And the reason is that you get specific charities or individuals that may not be a popular cause. So, for example, you know, some people might think that, you know, HIV isn't particularly important for many people, but maybe the plight of a 9-year-old boy who needs an operation is more important. And if it goes to public awards sometimes, then the public will generally vote how the community's made up. Which isn't always fair. So sometimes the most deserving causes don't always get that amount of votes. So there are plenty of awards that have public votes, and sometimes it's who you know, how good you are on the computer, et cetera, et cetera, and how savvy you are with computers. So we've decided to go for public nominations and reasons, and then a panel made up of you know, a diverse group of people that represent all of those protected characteristics.
And of course, I guess the point is it's also local as well, isn't it? Because there is a national diversity award.
There is an NDA, and again, I didn't even realise until a couple of weeks ago when I saw a tweet that BCFM had been nominated again. We were shortlisted before, so the last 5 we've been nominated again. But this is for Bristol, and hopefully it will be a way that people from diverse communities will be able to look at a business and say, how diverse are they? Whether it's a supermarket, a big chain, or a local organisation, what are they like in terms of their employment for diversity right across the board? So it's really interesting, but there's always a method behind the madness, and that is to encourage more and more people to take diversity seriously, because it actually enhances any organisation or business.
Yeah, well, of course, as much as we wish everything was like a wonderful and hunky-dory, we probably wouldn't have the need for shows like Shout Out if it was. It's still not 100% there. So it is always good to have these things. So,
yeah.
So do they have any clues? Have you done kind of what we do, and you just invite all of those that are in the finals and... And are they all coming on Sunday with no clue what's going on?
Well, it's funny. As I left, I saw emails flying off between this group of many of the nominees. So hopefully by Saturday night, and that's as late as it will be, you know, we'll know who the winners of those awards are, which is great. So they're all being invited. They're all being sent emails this evening or tomorrow, I think, all the nominees. Because they closed, I think, was it tonight or last night, I think. So there's an email address. So if you've still got one, it's diversityawards@bcfmradio.com. Nominate an individual, a business, a charity for a diversity award. Somebody that you think is really championing the cause of diversity in our city.
Well, I presume because it's a ticketed event, but it's free, isn't it? Are there still places people want to come?
I looked, and I think there were about 9 places left.
Oh, wow.
We had a limit of 200, and so if you haven't registered and you want to go, it is a free event. There's a paid bar, but there is some food available, and we've got a big birthday cake. I'm quite excited to see that, and we're going to have many of our presenters. Going to be there on stage.
Going to be there, aren't we? So
Steffi going.
Well,
yeah. I'm not coming.
I've been down Tesco to buy their old tomato stock.
Is that for when Neil Maggs goes onto the stage, is it?
Oh, he's going to be up there, is he?
Yes, he is.
Who is he?
He'll pop up. I don't know, he does a sports show.
Oh, does he? Right.
But we are really looking forward to it. And the serious thing is you guys and so many of our other shows, you know, sometimes I think you've got to look at BCFM as a person. And sometimes we don't look after that person very well because it's there and it provides the license for us all to broadcast our shows. So we want to really celebrate our 10th birthday, but most importantly, make sure that we're here for another 10 years because there is no core funding. There is no money. So every penny that we have to pay, around 25 grand a year and everything that we need to run the station, and that doesn't include any salaries because we have none,
no.
We have to raise ourselves. So it's so important that we tell the city all about us and what we do and hope that they'll, you know, reciprocate and support us.
Yeah, which is good because people do know BCFM now.
Yeah.
Whereas you go back like 5-6 years, they didn't. We were just this little community thing.
Absolutely.
But we really do have a voice now. So I know we're very proud to be part of it.
It's grown massively. And when I was at the Shout Out Awards, it was awesome watching the mayor and his crew walk in and all these, you know, Emma Britton from the BBC, and actually watching people from across the different communities. It wasn't just people from the LGBT community that were at the Shout Out Awards, and I think that shows.
I thought you and Mags were going to come to blows over the award for best show.
Would have done if he'd have won. But
Radio Bristol, we're at the International Women's Day as well.
Yes, yeah. So we have come a long way as a station. I think everyone, all of us as a team, you know, we're really proud, and it's almost get us all in a room at the same time, and you'd think, what are all those lot doing together? What have they got in common? And what we have in common is BCFM.
Yeah. Yeah. If you do want to donate, you can do. Just pick up your phone right now and dial in 770. Text starts with BCFM 10 and then the amount. That's 770. Text BCFM 10 and then the amount.
You're good, you are. You've done this before, haven't you?
A few times.
Listen, I'm off to the Hatter. Literally from here to the Jay Vaughan and Nio gig, which is another fundraiser. Harriet's arranged that one, so I'm going to go and have a lemonade with a straw and go and go and watch.
Does that mean we'll hear you live broadcasting later?
No.
Last time you had lemonade with a straw, we heard you on air later on, didn't we?
Stay off the radio.
It's not just the straw, it's when the little pinky rises.
I think it's time to leave the building.
Well, listen, we will be there on Sunday, and I'm brilliant. Really, really looking forward to it as well. And we can't come join you because we've still got another bit of the show to do, but do enjoy the fundraiser this evening. If you're listening to us live, because obviously we also repeat on other stations, but if you're listening to us live and you fancy going, it's down on the Hatcher, isn't it? Which is down Frogmore Street.
Yeah, the Hatter, I think.
Oh,
no,
it
it's
Hatter?
The Hatter, which is on Clare Street.
Right.
And I don't know where it is, so I'll just check it on my phone in a minute.
I know all the details are on the top of the Facebook page, the
Absolutely.
BCFM Radio Facebook page. So,
thanks for having me on. Andy,
you're welcome.
Thanks for being so nice, Steffi.
We next hear your voice. Are you going to come join us at Pride again this year?
Definitely, 100%, 100%. And I'll be on in the morning for the One Love breakfast.
4 times. Okay, I'm just going to go and slap Patrick as he exits the building.
Listen, have a great one tonight, and we'll catch you Sunday. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We're back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Fleur East. You better play that sax. I do like that song. That's really cool. So you like that one too, don't you?
Play that sax.
What did she say at the end about sex?
Play sax. That sax.
Sax on the brain.
Death.
I know.
Just saying.
She's been flirting with Pat for the last like 20 minutes. That's why.
So we're both damped now, then, Andy.
I know. Yeah, it's terrible, both isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Still.
Hello, Rebecca. Anyways.
Hello, Steph.
Oh, don't start. So, right, before they get too carried away, let's get some news headlines.
Of course. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 23rd of March.
Journalist and feminist Hadley Freeman, writing in The Guardian last Saturday, proposed a new way forward for looking at the strained relationships between transgender women and the separatist feminist movement which emerged in the 70s. She said that it was time for both sides to recognise that the experiences of different groups of women were always going to be divergent, and called on trans women to respect the fact that in issues such as sport, the differences with women born with women were going to come to the fore. However, she acknowledged that several separatist campaigners in the 70s mould had turned into what she called bitter old bitches over the entire trans issue.
Preparations are now advanced for Southern Europe's largest fetish event for gay and bisexual men. Sleazy Madrid comes to the Spanish capital for the 18th consecutive year. Special guest club nights will be taking place, including Hard On, Odarco, Playground and Into the Tank. The week-long festival takes place in the week leading up to the May Day Bank holiday weekend, which is a traditional time for subversive revelry, so it makes sense that the event climaxes then. Visit sleazymadrid.com for more information, but please note that their website is not safe for work.
The Daily Mirror and ITV Television have produced evidence that the banned neo-Nazi group National Action have been organising camps at which white supremacist politics are discussed. The group's Garen Helm told an undercover reporter that the Labour MP, Joe Cox, who was murdered last year, had it coming. Anti-fascist groups are closely watching the activities of National Action, which is now listed as a terrorist group. They'll be particularly concerned that Larry Nunn, a former member of the BNP, addressed a recent gathering calling for Britain's usually squabbling extreme right to unite to overthrow democracy.
Irish Republican leader Martin McGuinness has died at the age of 66. He had been involved in the Provisional IRA during the 1970s and served time in prison for terror offences before climbing the ranks of the Radical Republican Party Sinn Féin. The exact relationship of McGuinness to the IRA remained shrouded in mystery for most of his life, with some journalists claiming he was a member throughout the 80s and 90s. In recent years, Mr. McGuinness had worked to cement the peace agreement in Northern Ireland and had served as Deputy First Minister at the Stormont Assembly. In the Republican newspaper Ann Poblacht, fellow Sinn Féin luminary Gerry Adams paid tribute to Mr. McGuinness and his passion for the reconciliation process, whilst the communist daily newspaper Morning Star said that McGuinness was a giant of Irish politics. As far as LGBT issues is concerned, Pink News noted that Sinn Féin, under Mr. McGuinness's leadership, had been advocating for equality for well over 10 years and had used its position in Stormont to lobby for an equal marriage referendum.
Kick It Out, a national campaign against racism and prejudice in football, has published a guide for referees, linespeople and stewards at footy matches, outlining ways in which they can work to beat prejudice against gay, bi and trans people. Around 10,000 copies of the guide have been distributed, according to reports in the Gay Star News and in the Progressive Press this week.
And finally, revenge is a dish best served cold, they say, and so it is that LGBT internet users have been expressing satisfaction that US-based fundamentalist law practitioner and Tennessee State Senator Mr. Joey Hensley has been named in a court case as having extramarital affairs with his own cousin and with a patient to whom he was prescribing powerful opioid substances. Pink News notes that Hensley has strange and unusual views about human reproduction. As well as his anti-gay fanaticism, he has tried to have all children conceived through artificial insemination declared illegitimate. The court case continues.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shout Out News, this has been Terry Starr
and Rebecca Spittles.
Shout Out News. National and international LGBT news for you. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Swallow. Sorry, I just...
Can you say that word on air?
We can.
Well, I just kept wanting to say it when poor... But I
was starting to choke halfway through. Yes.
So anyway, stay with us. We're going to be catching up with Ivan shortly about the musical Bart.
That's right, about Lionel Bart.
Yeah, about Lionel. Yeah, he wrote Oliver, didn't he? Yeah, so stay with us.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I do like a bit of Avicii.
I do like Avicii.
Yeah. I bought the latest album. I wasn't overly impressed, but it's growing on me. So, but that one's called The Nights, which is one of the best ones I think they've ever done. So,
no, I prefer their old stuff.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't mind it. Just that's one of the new ones.
I think maybe for dance music, I'm stuck in the 90s.
Yeah, that was my era as well, I have to admit.
I think it's everybody's era. Yeah. Doesn't matter how old you are, the 90s was it.
Well, I was clubbing like you wouldn't believe in the 90s, and DJing as well. So, of course, I have boxes of CDs. And most people these days go, well, that was a CD. Yeah,
exactly. My cupboards are full of vinyl, original 60s and 70s vinyl. We're talking here, 45s. When Radio Caroline in London were bobbing up and down in the estuary.
Gosh. I don't know. Yeah, no, I didn't really... I don't think I'm old enough to have heard Radio Caroline. No, I don't know.
No, it was in the mid-60s.
Oh, right, no.
You might have heard the land-based pirate, but it's legal now because it's on the internet.
Yeah, well, I do remember pirate stations because there were a few down.
Well, there were a lot of land-based ones then in the 80s and 90s, but the ones that started it off were the...
But now we do it legitimately, hence why we need to keep BFM going, don't we? That was a really good link, but that's not actually what we're doing.
Well, even the other station we're simulcasting on at the moment, called Pirate Nation Radio.
Yes, that boat in the middle of the River Severn, isn't it?
Yeah, in international waters between England and Wales. It's quite a narrow strip.
Is that international, is it?
So, international, of course, two countries.
So, anyway, Ivan's been up in London talking to an actor and singer called John Bart about a show called Bart. Lionel Bart was a composer behind Oliver, which I loved. I loved the movie as well.
Yeah.
And it was so successful. It's kind of, you know, I've been in Oliver on stage. It became the mainstay of like schools.
Who did you play?
MDRAM. I was
Mrs. What's her name?
No, I was the mad doctor. Cheap. I was a mad doctor who when the boy runs away and they bring Oliver back, they call the doctor and I play the doctor.
You
and they
put Ivan they on now, gave Andy, me before you dig too much of a hole.
Yeah, okay.
Consider yourself at home. Consider yourself one of the family.
Now, I'm here in the Theatre Cafe on Shaftesbury Avenue in London, and it couldn't be a more appropriate place to interview my guest today for Showtime, John Bart, actor and singer. John, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to see you.
It's fantastic that you're here. But before we talk about what you're up to, because you're about to embark upon a new production of the story of Bart, Lionel Bart, that is, let me ask you, how did you actually get into the business in the first place?
This is actually my 40th year this year in the business. I started out as a kid. I was an original Sylvia Young'un back in the 70s, before you were even born, and I've been doing it ever since.
I was just taken aback though when you said before you were even born. You're wrong there, but anyway, that's the thing. So what production have you been involved in since? Because you've been in some big numbers, haven't you? And movies as well.
I've been very, very fortunate. But Oliver was my West End stage debut, so it's funny that I'm about to play Lionel Bart. Yeah, and then I did lots of adverts as a kid, and then I was 15 and a half, and I was at a comprehensive school, and one of my other friends from Sylvia's had just got into the Tour of Annie, and she was only 16. And she said to me, you should go to an open audition for a show and just see how you get on. So I bunked off school. I went to audition for the first national tour of Jesus Christ Superstar at the Prince of Wales just down the road. And they liked me and they said, how old are you? And I went, 19. I was 15 and a half. I got the job, and I was on tour for a year. Great.
You, I mean, your latest, the big movie you were in, of course, was the production of Les Miserables as well. How was that?
The movie of Les Mis was a great... It was probably one of the best 6 weeks of my life rehearsing it and 6 days filming in the freezing cold water in a dry dock in Portsmouth. But it was incredible. It's quite an iconic moment in the film as well, the opening. And I get the third line in the film. I got a solo line.
Yeah, not many people got those, did they, that weren't leads?
I was very, very fortunate.
And now, of course, you're involved in a... Well, I say involved, you're taking the lead in a revival of the story of Bart, which is about Lionel Bart, the composer extraordinaire. Oh, why Bart? Have you got an affinity for him?
Well, the show was written for me by Simon Hanning about 3 years ago, and we did it about 3 years ago at the Hippodrome in Leicester Square, and we sold out. And then we were going to do it again, and I wasn't available. Simon got busy. He does TV. And then the next year went by, and another year went by, and then last year then went by, and then literally about 8 weeks ago, he rang me and said, I've booked a theatre. So I went, oh, okay. So we open on the 5th of April to the 9th of April.
And what can the audiences expect? Because not everybody would have seen you first time around. It's described as a musical play, but it's no one-man show, is it?
It's more of a review. I'm looking upon it as more of a... Because basically there are no scenes. It's me speaking about my life as Lionel. It starts off at one of his wild hedonistic parties, and then Act 2 gets slightly darker when he's lost everything. But we're starting it chronologically. I mean, things might start changing. We haven't started rehearsals yet. We've done a couple of read-throughs and changed a few things, chosen a few now different songs. It's a four-hander, including myself. So there'll be two girls, a young girl and a slightly older girl playing like the Judy Garland, Alma Cogan part. And then the younger girl will play like Barbara Windsor. And the young boy will play Cliff and Tommy Steele and Anthony Newley.
I mean, he had a remarkable life, didn't he? I mean, you've already mentioned he was a bit of a hedonist, but he couldn't read or write music as well, and a few interesting romantic associations as well, yeah?
Supposedly, yes, romantic liaisons. But he, as I said, more than the music, the life alone is extraordinary. I mean, he's kind of, on one documentary I've seen, he openly admitted that he's probably blown about 35 million.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And I mean, part of that was, I guess, he made a lot of money out of Oliver, but he sold the rights, didn't he?
Yeah, to Max Bygraves, and then not for very much. And then Max Bygraves reportedly... A lot of this is... The weird thing is I spent a day with the archivist, Brenda Evans, last week, and some of this stuff is very up for speculation, because very... Actually, that kind of stuff was ever really written down. You know, it was the 60s, you know?
And of course, I mean, he was a gay man, but he wasn't an out gay man, was he?
Not at all.
Not until later in his life.
Much, much later in life did he admit that he kind of was that way inclined.
Now, John, you've actually met Lionel as well. What was your experience of meeting him?
Well, look, he was never a friend of mine, and I never really had deep and meaningful conversations with him, but I probably met him about three or four times. The first time I met him was when I was about 11 or 12, when I was in Oliver at the Aubrey Theatre with Roy Hudd, and he came in and he gave a lot of the boys Cockney lessons, because he had written it very specifically Cockney.
Yeah, he was one of the first people to get Cockney voices on the stage, yeah. Wasn't he?
And he was very proud of that, to bring rock, because everything was very RP and Old Coward, Terence Rattigan, and to bring... He wanted a real Cockney voice, which is what things ain't what they used to be is all about. Blitz, and of course, Oliver.
And of course, that's reflected now in regional accents that you see in all kinds of musical theatre to this very day, don't you?
Absolutely. And I recently had a conversation with Barbara Windsor, who's given me some wonderful, oh my God, wonderful stories. In fact, there's a story we talk about in our version, where we just kind of say on the opening night, it's famously reported that he couldn't sit there and watch the show. He went for a walk. I mentioned it to Barbara. She went, you know where he was, darling? She said he was in my dressing room with Youth of Joyce and Tony Palmer. That's where he was getting drunk.
I love anecdotes like that. And, of course, people can hear a lot more anecdotes at your show as well. Remind us where it is and when it's going to be on.
We are at the Mirth, Marvel and Maud, which is in Hoe Street in Walthamstow, from Wednesday the 5th of April to Sunday the 9th.
And I know you've got lots of albums out there yourself, music that you've sung yourself. And you've got a website. Where can people get a hold of more information about you, John?
All of my albums are on iTunes and on Spotify. I don't actually have a website anymore. I got rid of it because it was too much hassle. But I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter, John Barr UK.
John Barr, thank you very much for talking to me today, and break a leg with Lionel.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Marvin Gaye.
I like that song.
That's the Cahill remix of that one. That's by Charlie Puth. I love it. Brilliant song, that one.
What did you say? Charlie what?
Charlie Puth.
I thought you said something else.
Okay.
Puth.
P-U-T-H.
Okay, thanks.
So I'm sure that's how you pronounce it.
Puth. I thought it was pus. I'm sorry to
no,
say
it's
the
puth.
Word.
P-U-T-H.
Sorry, I thought.
So did I.
How unfortunate. How unfortunate.
Thanks, Mitch.
Anyway, welcome to the show, Mitch.
Hello, for those who haven't had your dinner yet.
Sorry about that. Oversharing.
So, listen, Steph, you just seen something. Is it breaking news?
Well,
sort
no,
of?
No, it happened yesterday.
Oh, did it? Oh, right.
Germany is to quash 50,000 gay convictions. So, I guess, following our footsteps. Loads of men were handed down sentences for homosexuality after World War II under the Nazi rule. It was under the notorious paragraph 175. Yeah. Well done,
Terry.
You know,
you want Terry
things
on your quiz team. You really do.
Strangely, paragraph 175, which, as you say, originated in Nazi Germany, was kept on by both East and West Germany. It was actually the communist East abolished it before.
Oh,
the,
really?
The Federalist West, which is unbelievable,
yes.
Really.
It
stayed on the statute books until 1969, and as you said, thousands of gay and bisexual men were prosecuted under it.
So, where were we in comparison to the rest of Europe when it came to decriminalisation? Do you know?
Behind the Latin countries, I mean, where Napoleon had taken over during the early 19th century, he'd legalised homosexuality. But the sort of like northern European countries, it happened a bit later. So like Sweden was 1944, they decriminalised. The Netherlands, 1930, I think, something like that. Gosh. We were 1967, so it's 50 years this July.
Wow,
that male homosexuality was partially decriminalised. Yeah.
Can I just say, I've just realised that in the studio we actually have, at the moment, LGBT.
All together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
We're fully represented.
Her name is Steph, everyone.
Is that
well, I'm the T.
That's
in the
unusual,
studio,
isn't it?
Yeah, we have a couple of G's, an L and a B.
Hey.
Hello, Becca.
Hello.
Oh, how
and now we need the plus, because of course,
well,
we do.
Yes, we
need asexuals, intersex people.
Yeah. Do you want me to go?
If you want to get involved,
big, you know,
drop us a line. Sorry?
I'm not that big.
Well,
plus, yeah,
know.
Never mind.
Plus size. You know, we can be plus size as well.
It's no good on radio if you don't get the joke at the same time. It really is. It kind of kills it, doesn't it?
Sorry, that died, Andy. Sure.
Now, are we all coming on Sunday for the Bristol Diversity Awards?
I'm going to try and come along, yeah.
Don't forget to get your tickets. There's literally very few left.
I think Pat said there's nine.
There's like eight or nine left.
It's on Facebook, isn't it?
Well, it's on Eventbrite for the ticket. You actually need to go and register, and it will give you one that you can print that you can bring with you. Or if you're sophisticated enough, you can bring on a smartphone.
Yeah. But the links are on the BCFM Facebook.
Yeah, BCFM Radio. I think it's facebook.com/BCFM Radio. If you want to come.
And it's a big, big happy 10th anniversary from all of us to the team at BCFM, the station which we started on and which we still record the programme on. Yeah, it's our home station. So yeah. 10 years of BCFM.
It means we've put up with Pat for 7.
You know,
love you really, Pat. Honestly.
He's not listening now. No. He's busy drinking his lemonade with his pinky in the air.
And a straw. Don't forget the straw.
The straw, of
you
course.
Might even have two.
Yeah, rainbow straw, mate.
Of course,
rainbow
that is. Have you found out where his venue is that he's got to go to, wasn't it?
He's probably lost. He's probably driving through Almondsbury as we speak.
Sure, you're not, Pat. It's Clare Street you've got to go to, Pat.
You should have asked
well
you.
Remembered of you.
I know where the Hatter is. Yeah, it's Clare Street. Yeah.
Is it a nice venue?
Yes, I haven't actually been in. I've just seen it on the outside. So.
Oh, right, okay.
But it looks nice.
Right, so we'll see everyone on Sunday, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't forget, get your tickets.
Anyway, that is it for this week. But do join myself, Steph, and tons of the others from BCFM this Sunday.
But if you are coming, get your free ticket. The link for that and more about today's show are all on our website, shoutoutradio.com.
LGBT.
Next week, Prism are going to be back to give us another update. From myself and the rest of the team, everyone say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.